Session number 9241.
Mrs. Gornowski, Reel 3. So, what happened after this failed attempt to get to South America?
I stayed with the family a certain time. You know, every day, you know, it was very difficult living in fear every minute of it. Will you ask me, you know, because I can't somehow...
Were you still suffering from the ulcer even then?
All the time, yes.
Without any treatment?
Any treatment whatsoever.
Were you getting any news of the war's progress?
No. No, I knew that the English and the French were it was another front already, and we were hoping that, you know, that the war won't take such a long time. They will be able to survive.
Did you ever think that the Germans would actually win?
At the time they were so strong, you know, we didn't know. We were hoping they would lose. But you never knew such things, you know. They were so strong at the time. But it was already the second front with Russians that we heard about it. They were approaching. They were coming from the east, yes? From the east.
Yes.
You know, approaching a certain part of Poland, and the Germans were coming from the west. So they were fighting, you know, I mean, the Russians occupied certain part of Poland, and the rest was occupied by the Germans.
Now, the Russian forces started to approach the Warsaw around about August 1944.
Yes. But that was later. That was later.
But when that happened,
yes.
What happened to you? Did you stay in Warsaw?
I was in Warsaw. I was still in Warsaw. I had to leave that place. It was already no good for me. And the lady of the house decided that she had a sister in the country with her family, and that would be the best place for me to stay. She contacted the sister, and one of the daughters of the family came to fetch me. We went by train, and we came to the place named Miłosna, I think. Miłosna was.
How do you spell it?
Miłosna. That was about 30 kilometers outside Warsaw. I came there, you know, and there was supposed to be my aunt, you know, that was one of the family. I came to the kitchen, and there was two women standing. And I didn't know how to behave because it was a neighbor, you know. So I said, aunt, you know. I was so clear-minded still to say aunt, and she said, my name was Kazio. He said, Kaziulka. We started to kiss each other. You know, that was the first moment I met her.
Do you know when it was that you moved to Miłosna?
That was 43. That was just before the uprising of the Warsaw Ghetto. Because I was unfortunately watching what was going on when I was already there. It was April 43. I was there in Miłosna.
You mean you saw the rising of the ghetto?
Yes, I saw flames. You know, I couldn't see anything else because I was outside Warsaw.
So, did you completely lose contact with your parents once the rising occurred?
Yes, that was the end.
What kind of accommodation did you have at Miłosna?
I was living official with them, you know, as a cousin. As a daughter of the lady's sister, who came from a different town. So, you know, the daughters knew who I was, but the neighbors, they didn't, you know. My Polish was very clear, you know, sort of no Jewish accent whatsoever. And, I behaved the way they behaved, you know, and we were approximately the same age. that everything, for them it was fun, for the young girls, but for me, you know, I was petrified in the beginning. Because I remember arriving on Saturday, and on Sunday I went to the church the first time with them. I came and I thought myself, I knew about the Catholic religion, I learned about it, you know, how I knew how to behave in the church, I knew some prayers. And my first experience was I came to the church and I thought I'll behave the same way as the girls. But the girls didn't pray at all, you know, they were laughing and, you know, talking to the boys. And then that was a terrible experience for me because I was petrified. No, they loved, they knew who I was, you know. And we came back, and some young boys came with us, and they introduced me as a cousin. I was there a certain time, and one day a young man came, and brother of boyfriend of the one of the girls, and he came, introduced himself, and he wasn't told who I was, you know. And I don't remember how it happened. Anyway, the boy fell in love with me and started to, you know, to come and see me. And still he wasn't told. And at the time it was the uprising. That's how I remember the uprising also. And my cousin, younger cousin, came to stay with me. I had a room on the first floor, and behind it, it was a little, just camouflage, little, just behind the wall, one could stay there. That girl slept there, you know, I was officially there, but she was hidden, you know, we couldn't be together, you know. And one night, my other cousin, a boy, came. He ran away from a train, taking him to Treblinka already, from Warsaw uprising. That's how I find out what was happening to my parents. They were still in ghetto, my parents, and he was on the way to Treblinka. He jumped off the train, and he knew my address, and at night he came to me. So I had two children behind the wall, and I was the official one there. I forgot to mention that in the beginning of the war, whatever we had materials from our business went to a certain family, the name of Zalewski, who during the first war, my grandfather was helping him. He went to a camp, and my grandfather was looking after the whole family, the wife and children. And Mr. Zalewski said that if ever happens in a situation, if he could help in any way, he would. So of course we approached him during the war, and he took part of the whatever you had, some not jewelry but carpets, which expensive things which we had in the house, or things he could sell. And piano we had, my mother was playing piano. A lot of materials from the shop, you know, let's say 3 yards, or everything what could be sold, you know, he had it in his house. So when I was staying in the country, I approached that man, and I said, well, I'm the daughter of the family, I mean granddaughter, and could he help me? So in the beginning, he said, all right, he'll help me, because I had another two children to look after. We were three of us. So he said, all right, he'll help me. He knows, and he remembered always that my grandfather looked after his family when he was in prison. And a few times I came there and got some money, and that I paid the lady of the house, and she kept us for the money, of course. After a while, can you stop for a minute? The man who helped me, his name was Pietia. He helped me to leave the ghetto, you know. He was waiting on the other side of the fence. He was coming to see me, you know, and he was the only connection between ghetto and myself, and he was bringing the money for me, you know. My parents still managed to sell some jewelry and things, you know, they're paying for me, for my grandfather, for my cousin. And the family knew about that family Zalewski, and they said when the, my parents disappeared, that they said, well, that is, you know, well, they keep us, but they have to be paid. So that Pietia was supposed to go with me to that family Zalewski and say if they won't pay me, well, so they were... sort of approach the Germans and tell them that he they were helping a Jewish girl. I went the last time to Mr. Zalewski and he said, well, that is the last time he's paying me because he's afraid of, you know, he's afraid that somebody will find out about it. That is, you know, that for him that was then endangering his life. He gave me a certain amount of money. I came with the money to that lady. I said, well, that was, I told her the truth. And she saw that it is the end of her income. So she said that she approached that Pieter and she said, you come with her and you make him give her money. And the young the daughter heard all about the story. She told her boyfriend. Just a moment, can you stop? In the meantime, the younger daughter, youngest, was very sort of jealous that the young man was coming to see me. And she asked me, what do you think about him? I said, well, listen, he's very friendly, he's very charming, but, you know, we're not for each other, you know. It's very pleasant to have company, but that is all. You understand that it can't be anything else. But she said, he's very much in love with you. You should tell him. And I got cold feet, you know, I got very frightened, you know, not only for me, but for the children. I had such a responsibility. And one day I was out or I was upstairs, I don't know, she got hold of him and she told him the whole story, that I was Jewish and that is no point for him to come, you know. And he was shaken. And afterwards he said, or let me... talk to her, you know. He went upstairs. He came to me and he felt started to cry. And she said that it wasn't fair not to tell him that we didn't trust him. And he said he tried to help me. I was very lonely, and we became lovers. That was my first man. And I had those two children behind the wall. You know, and I knew that was the only way, you know, to get some feeling from somebody. One day the landlady said, I have to approach again to Mr. Zalewski to get money from him. And I went to Warsaw. I wasn't told what was behind the scenes, you know. I came to him, and I was waiting for that Pietia to come with me, you know, that was arranged. And he didn't come. He didn't come. But that young man, you know, came and he said, I want you back. You know, don't go, I'll tell you all about it. As it happened, his brother approached him and he said he heard from his girlfriend that they decided that approach that Mr. Zalewski, get the money and get rid of me. You know, the whole thing, you know, they had enough. They know that the end of the income, they don't want to be bothered. As he was so much involved with me, you know, sort of in love with me, he didn't want me to be killed, you know. And he heard the story. He came. He approached Pietia, and Pietia was sorry for me. He didn't come. Anyway, he grabbed me, and he said, you can't go back to that place. I have to arrange another place for you. Because they saw that was no income for them. And he took me. I said, what about the children? He said, you have to be the first one. Apparently, I didn't know that was all behind the scene. He came to the family, heard about it. He came with a gun. He said, I'm taking her away, but you have to promise to leave those two children for another 24 hours. You know, arrange something for them too, but I can't have them all. Would you please, you know, otherwise I kill you. And he took me to the country, you know, and he introduced me as his cousin or something, I remember. And he left me there. He went back to Miłosna, yes. And when he came back, the people thrown out the young, just before he came back, after 12 hours, or that, maybe not that, you know, I don't know exactly. They throw them out to the street, you know, and the two young people, I don't know exactly how it happened, or Polish people said to the Germans they were Jewish, or the Germans noticed them, because they didn't look particularly Jewish, you know, but the Poles could see it, and they were taken to the station, police station, Polish police station. Oh yes, they were taken by the police. They wanted, Polish police wanted money, and they had no money at all. And I don't know exactly how it happened, but anyway, the Polish police gave them to the Germans, and they were shot on the street. Both of them. Can I stop?
So it was the Germans who shot them?
Yes, they were shot by the Germans on the street. I don't know where is the grave.
And they were just teenagers?
Teenagers.
Who were your cousins?
Yes.
Where
apparently they were asked about the connections, you know, where they came from, and they didn't want, I was told that they didn't want to say it. They didn't want to give the name of the landlady because of me. They didn't want to endanger my life. And they were shot.
Do you know the name of the village that you'd been taken to?
I don't remember. That was on the Russian border somewhere. I was living with peasants. That was the worst house. I remember it was, we were living together with chickens, you know, everything was one room, you know, the whole family and myself. I was sleeping with another girl, a bit younger than me, and the chickens were there, you know, everything together. And I didn't know the customs there, you know, for me everything was new. They asked me to eat with them, so I took my own plate, and they were offended. Apparently you were supposed to eat from the same plate, you know, potatoes and everything was together. I didn't know, you know, and I was the stranger to them.
Were they compassionate and friendly, or cold and distant, or what?
You know, they treated me as a girl from a big town. I was a stranger to them. He said that I came just for, that was summertime. So I was sort of like a guest house. I paid for my stay.
Were the Germans conducting searches all the time?
Yes, but not at the particular house, you know, they didn't know. They were not Jews, you know, that was so far from big town, they were not Jews at all there. Nobody knew about me, you know, I behaved like any other girl would behave. I wasn't different. Like every girl from a town, you know, I was different to them. I was more educated probably, and I had different manners, you know, I was a stranger. But I went to the church with them, you know, I behaved just the same way as they did.
What happened to you after this period with the peasants?
Did I mention that I knew that the ghetto was finished? And I knew that I had nobody.
Well, you said that you'd come across this cousin who'd escaped from the train to Treblinka.
Yes, yes. Well, that cousin was killed on the street together with the other cousin. There were those two children who were killed. And I knew that was the ghetto was burning, and I knew that nobody was left there. Because they were burning systematically every street. And I didn't know if my parents were taken to the concentration camp or they were burned there alive. I didn't know a thing. I was only knew that during the day I had to laugh and behave like anybody, every girl my age. And at night I was crying. I couldn't show my feelings at all.
So you were really alone by now?
Yes. And no money. I couldn't pay for my upkeep, but then the young man was paying for me at the time. And One day he came and he said, I could stay there summertime. I couldn't stay there any longer because it's wintertime, it was look suspicious. So he said, he arranged a place for me in outside Warsaw. Name was Grodzisk. It was Grodzisk, Grodzisk. That was about 30 kilometers out of Warsaw. With the family, he introduced me as his somebody, you know, and I could stay with them because, you know, all the people were running away from Warsaw. And on the way from that country place to Warsaw, he was waiting on the station. I was taken off the train, not as a Jewess, but as, you know, they were stopping, the German were stopping all the trains because people were bringing food to Warsaw. It was black marketing, you know, black marketing. And they grabbed me too. And they were sending those people to work in Germany. It's not exactly young people, all sort of people. They were taking only, let's say, people were bringing meat or other things, vegetables to Warsaw.
So you were taken as well?
I was one of
well.
Them, you know. I was taken off the train. It was a special, certain station, all the, you know, cross...
junction.
Junction, yes, it was a junction. And they were taking us to prison, to Warsaw. I came to that prison, and I didn't know how to contact my boyfriend at the time. Anyway, somehow I managed, we went through a physical examination and we're standing on the line, in a line, you know, and people were taking all sorts of things, you know, they were rubbing the eyes to make it inflamed, you know, and I didn't know what to do, you know. I was coming from the country, I had a pint of cream with me, and something else, and I was very thirsty, and I was drinking that cream. It's just my luck, you know. And we were all naked, standing in a line, you know. I came to the doctor, and I was a certain time in the country. I looked very well, you know, after all get on coming, you know, it's sort of, I was heavier, you know, and healthy looking. And I came, he looked at me, I didn't look like all those people, peasants, you know. So he said, what can I do for you? I said, well, I'm ill. I said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I've got duodenum ulcer. So he looked at me, you know, because the peasant didn't know what such a thing existed. And he said, well, come with me to a German doctor. And I was naked, walking with him, you know, and he came to the German doctor, and he asked in German, du bist krank, you know, in German. And I said, I don't understand. I couldn't say that I understood because Polish people didn't speak understand German. More Jewish people understood because it was very similar to Jewish, the Yiddish, you know, the Jewish language. I didn't know Yiddish either, but, you know, German I understood, you know, because my father was speaking German. And he looked at me, he said, you don't look ill. And the doctor was translating, and they said, the young lady says that she's got duodenum ulcer. So he said, show me your tongue. And I showed him the tongue, and my tongue was all white from that cream, you know. And he said, well, I want you to be sent to the for observation to the hospital in Warsaw. You know, just, I think it's luck, you know.
What would have happened to you otherwise?
They would send me straight away to work to Germany. I don't know what would happen, but anyway, I was left in the prison, and then the next day, somebody came to our room. I mean, we were lying on, not on beds, but, you know, sort of wire, such a, like what you have on bare bed without the mattress. Well, how do you call it? That springs.
Yes,
you know,
the springs.
Springs, yes. I was lying there, and somebody came and said, "Who wants to come and work for the Germans? You know, for the, you know, to clean the German, you know, room." I said, "I will come." And I came, and I came there, and German said, I don't know how, why he liked me, and he said, well, come and eat here, have something. And he said to me in German, you know, I've got a daughter your age. And Schade, he said, very sorry for you. How can I help? And I still didn't want to admit that I understood. And he said, are you going to the hospital? I said, yes. I'll be one of the people who will be guarding you, looking after you. Run if you can. I won't be looking. You know, there's, in every nation there are good people and bad people. He was the one who was very kind to me. And the next day I was on a, you know, was a big lorry, you know, and there were mostly people who without legs, you know, cripples, and I was the only person who was normal. And we came with Germans and we had Polish policemen. And we're approaching the hospital. I jumped the first one, I jumped off the car and ran into the hospital, into the wing, you know, to the left, and a Polish policeman ran after me. And he grabbed me and he took me back. And the German looked at me, you know, he didn't say a word, and he couldn't, you know. And so I was left on the ground floor with the Polish police, and the German, they only went out.